Now, did either of you, Radar or James, have an issue with that?
I can see James on the Zoom, and here are two middle-aged music lovers. We bumped into each other at the excellent Reb Fountain concert the other day, and I looked up, and we were both nodding our heads in time to that little beat, and then I think it was Sam informed us that we were, in fact, boogieing out to the Wiggles. We continued. We continued
we're
to
assuming
nod.
It was the music that was making my head nod. It's just that time of day.
It is that time of day. You're sort of just a little bit anxious to get going. It did look, James, if you were having some kind of anxious nodding attack, that it was very much in time with the rhythm of that song.
Just as long as the head doesn't hit the table at some point, we'll try and keep you with us, James.
I appreciate that.
I'll send an emergency cat to him. We might get to that story later on. Hey, look, I love a seal. I've had a lot of encounters with seals over the years around the place. They're a curious and a lovely animal. What I can't understand, and this is one of those weird stories where you go, what are the chances of this happening? Mount Maunganui, a seal not only manages to break into a house, apparently possibly chasing a cat. So the seal has got through two cat doors. How big are these people's cat was the first thing I wanted to know. But it turns out it was, in fact, the house of a marine biologist who just happened not to be home at the time. Like, the odds of this are so astronomically small, but nonetheless one of my favourite stories of the week.
It's like...
I love it.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I always get concerned when animals want to leave their natural environment to go and live somewhere else. It's just not a good sign, is it, really?
What do you think? They're fleeing the sea or the storm?
Well, there was another seal story in the news this week as well from Australia. There was a seal miles inland in the state of Victoria hanging out with a herd of cows.
I had the great privilege of heading down to the sub-Antarctics, and you'd be climbing at the top of this peak. They reach a moderate degree of altitude, and you'll step over some tussock, and there are seals right up the top of the hill. So they do love to clamber and climb. And the most disconcerting thing is they come right up to you, and the advice is don't run away because they think it's a funny game. So you have to stand there as they sort of... with their bitey little teeth, they bite in the vicinity of your kind of groinal region, and you have to think, this is a test to see whether I'm going to pass it or not, or indeed, will I ever breed again? Or what, depending on you know, whether that is something for you, nonetheless. But Coco the cat, they think, lured the seal into the home of the Rosses, and what was described as a hilarious encounter, and the Mr. Ross was very happy. If anyone's ever had the misfortune to smell seal poo, the seal did not ruin any of the furniture or carpets.
You're presuming that this was random, however, and that the seal didn't know the marine biologist or have a bit of a crush, are you my mummy style, or had an issue with the marine biologist who just happened not to be home?
Yeah.
The marine biologist wasn't at home, but we happen to have Radar as the seal expert to cover the story. So
I'm an enthusiastic amateur. I'm pro-am when it comes to seals. Maybe he'd brought his work home and hadn't got around to telling the family, and now he's blaming the cat. And the cat's like, well, it's not me.
Everyone always blames the cat.
It's the cat's. It is the cat's fault. There was a cat who saved a woman this week, James.
Yeah, no, this was a cat in England. So the story was that this woman apparently had a heart attack while she was asleep. She didn't know that, of course, because she was asleep, but she was woken up by her cat, Billy, who was behaving unusually. Apparently he's a bit of a loner and not much for interaction with humans, but Billy was sitting on her chest and meowing loudly in her ear, which caused her to wake up, call her mother for help. Next thing, she's in hospital and they determined that she had indeed had a heart attack, possibly saved by the cat, although I'm sure that cat really, if you think about the nature of the dynamic of the relationship and who does the feeding, it's really the cat acting out of self-interest rather than altruism, I would say.
It's possible the cat caused the heart attack, otherwise fine, and then suddenly the cat is on you, body is reacting. And disappointing, James, you missed out that her the best description that she had. She said the cat was meowing loudly in my ear hole.
Ear hole, yes.
I just thought it was such a lovely turn of phrase.
What do we think of the partying Finnish Prime Minister? What side of this enormous scandal are we on?
It's Russian disinformation. They're not happy with the Finns. They're looking to sort of bring them down and bring them into disrepute.
Doesn't that marry up with everything we know about Finns? They're fun-loving, they enjoy a drink, they enjoy a dance. I can't see the problem with it. Now, our Prime Minister has been filmed dancing and enjoying herself. I don't see the issue.
Yeah, Sina Marin, I think her name, and you know, that new wave of young leaders coming through. And as I say, you know, where did the footage come from? Why is it released at this particular time? They've always had problems with the Russians, the Finns, up in that part of the world. And is it part of that, or is, you know, are people just a little bit jealous that young people can not only capably run a country but also party while doing it? I see no problem. Unlike pigs that are swimming.
I think James's head has hit the table.
I was thinking about Joe Biden for some reason when you were saying that. I think I just nodded off in sympathy.
Yeah, I mean, if we were talking about people who were nodding along, perhaps to nothing, Senior Joe, it's difficult. Hey, look, water and animals do seem to be the theme of the week. The chances that people turned up to exactly the right place at exactly the right time to see a swig. I guess, what do you call a swimming pig? A swig?
A swimming pig would be a swig, yep.
Yes, it would be. Up in the far north, they thought it was a dog in the sea, having a time of its little life. Turned out to be a pig. And what I love about this country is suddenly it's online and the best of the comments are coming through. People describing this particular pig as ready salted, or indeed, that's my favourite seafood.
I think the copywriting showed a little bit, a few gaps there. I think you could say the pig made a rash decision, trotted down to the beach, handed up in the surf, dived in, did a pork belly flop.
Good one, James.
Good one, all there.
Nice one.
Sweet.
And so pigs can't fly. Can they do butterfly if they can't fly?
James, as someone who may have caused a fire brigade call out due to burnt toast in a certain public building in the capital, I don't know how I feel about this next one. This is a step worse, I must admit. This is a shocker.
This is suspicious, isn't it? The cheese roll that caught fire under the stands that caused the game between Auckland and Southland to have to be postponed for 20 minutes. The only thing I really want to note is that Auckland were leading 14-6 when that happened. But kudos to the DJ who found the Billy Joel song "I Didn't Start the Fire" to play during those 20 minutes.
Because I've been watching a lot of Peaky Blinders, the fifth season recently, and now I'm immediately suspicious of any game that has a halt like this caused. You know, was it an inadvertent burning of the cheese roll, or, you know, was it something more sinister in the world of provincial? Is this provincial rugby? I suppose it is.
It is.
It is. All right, NPC, national.
I mean, what self-respecting Southlander would burn the cheese roll, for starters?
I just had a sharp intake of breath, and I looked at your face on the Zoom with a sense of utter, just, who are
sympathy.
You?
Sympathy.
What is the point of you? Like, make yourself one for lunch, James.
Well, tell me how to do it. What am I missing out on?
Wow.
Well, now we get into debates about what goes in or doesn't go
like,
in.
Like, isn't it? Isn't it like onion soup powder? Don't you put this that in? Said something and that you'll never hear from me again?
No. You have. There's a question as to what else goes into them. They were mainly used to fill the stomachs of Southerners who may or may not have been imbibing a tad much, starting in their teens, but also during rugby tests on Saturday afternoons. Someone else will fill me in more on the history of the cheese roll, but they're delicious, James.
Hello? Oh. So as opposed to the medieval thing where you had a powdered owl to cure gout.
It's quite a great recipe. For anyone who hasn't seen them, James, give us the full recipe for how to get rid of gout with a powdered owl.
In 1 minute.
The one I like most is stuffing a puppy with snails and sage, roasting it over a fire and rendering fat to make a salve.
If anyone does, that's a good one. For anyone who loves puppies and doesn't want to hurt a dog, try an owl. Pluck them, open them, salt them, and then bake them in an earthenware dish that you would for bread. Then grind them up, rub them with some pig fat. There's a pig up north that's already salted. And then rub that on the painful regions. So these medieval recipes, there's about 8,000 of them for healing people. Go online.
Leave the owls alone. I love the owls. I'm amazed not only by their lovely eyes, but the way they can spin their heads right round in circles.
well, they should have been using the owls to treat cataracts. Instead, they use a hair. You boil up a hair and mix it with honey and apply it to your eyes with a feather. Surely cataracts should have been fixed with a powdered owl.
Just doesn't leave fix the cataract
leave
at
the
all.
Animal life
just
alone.
Distract you.
Yeah, leave the animal life alone, thanks. Thank you, James. Thank you, Tereda.